Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Kanti paramanta potitika ti. So that's the verse from the Avada Patimokkha. I'll explain what it means later on. But the subject of this evening's talk will be on patience. Wait for it. One of the reasons is that quite often I ask people to focus on the second factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. I often call it making peace, being kind, being gentle. But I also like to make it important that somewhere in there, and usually I try and sneak it into the third factor, the gentleness, the non-violence, the avyapada, is learning how to be patient. Because that's such an important attitude for the right intentions, or for the right motivations, rather, to learn how to sort of be patient. You've all heard those great stories of, you know, Ajahn Chah, all you need to do is to sit under the mango tree, be perfectly still, and the mango will fall. And people keep complaining, how long do you have to sit under that mango tree? I've been still, but nothing's fallen yet. And a lot of times it is because we're always waiting for something to happen. It's one of the more subtle forms of wanting. And I have made a lot of emphasis on this retreat, is that the wanting is the cause of suffering. It's the wanting which agitates the mind. It's the wanting which stops the mind being still. And our job is to somehow subdue that force of wanting. To even use a bit of restraint. But the best way, obviously, is to realize when the wanting stops, you have a lot of contentment, happiness being here. And really, it doesn't matter where you are, it's wanting to be somewhere else is suffering. And being content and easily satisfied, not proud and demanding in nature, as we sometimes chant in the Metta Sutta, that those ideas, being content, easily satisfied, not proud of trying to get somewhere or be someone, worrying what people think of you or say about you, not being proud and easily satisfied, not proud, not demanding in nature, not demanding things from the path happen right now in your schedule. Those are the sorts of things which subdue this wanting so that we can be still. And that when you are still, as I've been telling people in interviews, once you have that stillness, then the mindfulness grows very, very strong. But the stillness, you need that patience for the stillness to really grow, because you can be getting peaceful, but it doesn't go anywhere because you're not really being patient. People think they are waiting, but the insight which I got a few years ago, which was very helpful for me and helpful for other people, was emphasizing the two types of waiting. You know, the wrong waiting and the correct waiting. And the wrong waiting was always waiting for something to happen, waiting in the future. It was a very subtle form of wanting. And that waiting for something to happen is just so common in human beings that those of you who come to a monastery ordained as bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, who are on the path to such ordination or are just coming in here for the rains retreat to try and develop your meditation as much as possible. So often that wanting, waiting for something to happen is the very thing which stops things happening. So you can actually, once you notice that, you can recognize that waiting in the future, wanting something to happen, that stops things occurring. It's that last little bit of agitation of the mind which stops it getting so still and peaceful that the mango falls. So the first thing is to recognize that. And the opposite of that, the correct waiting, is awaiting in this moment. And how can you say waiting in this moment? It's like being patient in this moment. And even that, to the English word patient, it has that double meaning of being a recipient of the action, not actually being active, not doing something, but seeing that, sitting there and being passive. It is the receiving of the action, the patient. And this is one of the reasons why that learning how to be patient in both ways is learning how to be passive, not to do things, but to be the recipient of when things happen. In other words, you're the one who catches the mango, not the one who makes it fall. You're the patient. So, but anyhow, the idea of like patience, waiting in this moment, is a very difficult thing to do because very often this moment is not very pleasant, which is one of the reasons why the other aspect of patience is this thing called kanti, which is sometimes called patient endurance. But as the Pali scholars here know, that kanti is a word derived from the verb kamati. And those of you who were here on Sunday to do the ordination for the bhikkhunis, the second part of the ordination for the bhikkhunis, or those of you who have been through these Sanghakarma ceremonies before, can recognize that. Kamati Sanghasa Tasamatuni Erametang Darayami. Kamati Sanghasa means the Sangha is actually content with this, they're pleased with this, they accept it. And that is the same root as kanti. It's not just enduring, gritting your teeth, and just bearing with things in the sense of, well, when is this going to end? Because that again is waiting in the future. It is learning how to accept and be content, consent even, to this unpleasantness which sometimes happens with your body or with your mind. Be at peace with it, waiting on this feeling, which can sometimes be yucky. And of course, that happens to me as well. I'm getting old too. Sometimes you get tired in your meditation retreat, have a wonderful time, but there's sometimes when your body is very, very sore. And so at such times, I have learnt, you know, what kanti truly means. Not gritting my teeth, but just accepting and embracing the yucky feelings, not wanting them to change, not waiting for them to go, but waiting on them. Waiting on them means caring for them, looking after them, embracing them. It's opening the door of your heart to them, caring, not curing, which I keep on saying. Because if you try and cure the problems, that is also waiting in the future, waiting for them to go. You're trying to cure them. And when you're waiting for them to go, you try and get rid of them quicker. You try and hurry them along to make sure they don't last so long because it's too much suffering. And that's the curing. The curing attachment and addiction of human beings. Always curing stuff, making it better, making other people better, making yourself better. Yeah, there's time for that, but when you're on retreat, there's no time for that at all. Stop trying to cure. Care. So by caring for this moment, the yucky moments of life, the yucky mental states, by caring for it, you're not trying to get rid of it. You're waiting on it because somehow or other it's there to teach you something. This is where I always say that we accept whatever is in front of us as the most important thing in the whole world, the Emperor's Three Questions. Now the most important time. The mind state, the body state right now is the most important. And the only thing you can do is to care for it. Not to get rid of it, cure it, but to care for it. So actually you wait on it. Waiting on it is caring for it. Just like a nurse, a doctor would wait and care on their patient. And sometimes that's more powerful than any medication or any sort of operation. Just the care which they can get from other human beings. And those caring parts of the therapy usually is all you need. You don't need to cure it. The care gets rid of the problem. And it's the same thing which happens with the yucky mind states, the painful, unpleasant, tired body states. You care for it. You wait on it. Look after it. And if you wait on this present moment, it always disappears pretty quickly. When I try and get rid of any yucky mind states, sort of they usually last a long time because I'm actually feeding them. I'm feeding the yuckiness. If I just accept it, it's not my problem. It's just cause and effect. It's just a nature. It's got its cause. I don't know why. Maybe sick, maybe tired, maybe just people have been bothering me, whatever it is. But you are at peace with it. You accept it. You learn from it. And you care for it. You open the door of your heart to everything. In this particular case, you open the door of the heart to this moment, no matter how it is. That's called caring for it. And my goodness, it's just so powerful just how that works. But you don't wait for it to disappear. You wait on it right now, in this moment. So there's no will to get rid of it. That is kamati. You consent to it, just like we consented to the nuns, being bhikkhunis on Sunday. We consent to other forms in the Sangha Kamma, like when we do the Pawarana ceremony in a month's time. We do we consent to it. Consent to it being done this way. And that idea of acceptance, consent, I think is really the heart meaning of this word kanti. It's not endurance by being a tough guy or a tough girl. It's by being a wise person, a compassionate person, who can open the door of your heart to what's happening and accept it and agree to it and care for it. So when we understand that as a form of waiting in this moment about really being patient, then we find that all we need to do is just to be in this moment, care for it, be patient, don't try and get rid of it, don't wait for something else to happen, don't believe that this is some sort of business deal. If I follow Ajahn Brahm's instructions, then this is what I will get at the end of it. This is not sort of business, this is religion, spirituality, it's Buddhism. And don't think if I follow the Eightfold Path, the Buddha said, certainly I will get this in the end. And if that's how you are doing this path, just as a business deal, doing it to get something, then of course you're waiting in the future, it will not happen. And if you are one of those that's saying, 2 months of the range retreat already gone, I'm getting nowhere, I'm going backwards, what's happening? If that's you, this is the reason I give this talk at this time, if that's you, can you see that the problem is that you are not practicing patience? You're thinking about time and thinking so much time has gone, I better hurry up, I better get my act together. It's that impatience. And that impatience ruins the rest of this retreat. So yeah, there's only 1 month left of this retreat, but you should practice like this is the very first night of the retreat. Not like it's 2 months left. Practice that if it's the 12th day of the retreat, so all the days of the retreat are the same. You're patient. You're in this moment. You're caring for this day. You're not trying to cure it and develop something. You're letting things be. Stopping the wanting. That's the opposite of wanting, is letting be. If you're not letting be, then you're wanting something. So learning how to be patient and accept, not like endure, but accept and care for whatever you're feeling, however yucky, tired, you haven't got your energy up yet. Why haven't you got your energy up yet? Because you're doing too much, and I don't mean your chores and business, I mean what goes on in your head. Doing the kitchen work, doing the driving, doing whatever you have to do in life, that's easy. Thinking about it is the hard part. That simile in my life, pushing the wheelbarrows, complaining. Why am I doing this for? That's not what I became a monk for, to act like a slave. And just on one meal a day, just boiled rice and frogs, and pushing wheelbarrows all day for that. Actually, we did get a Coca-Cola as well. I told the story to the monk, every story I've told to the monks many times, but I actually caught Ajahn Chah talking to lay people. And he said, it's much cheaper to get the monks to do all the hard work, because, they'd work all day for one bottle of Pepsi Cola. The villagers, you have to pay the money for it. We're exploited. But anyway, fair enough. It's good karma. But anyway, that, you know, that time I was getting really upset, having to work so hard, pushing wheelbarrows, and this wonderful Thai monk, don't know who he is, but thank you wherever you are, came up and said, pushing the wheelbarrow is the easy part. Thinking about it is the hard part. So it's amazing insight. And it's one of those insights which doesn't make you a professor so you could write books about the deeper parts of Buddhism. It is an insight which is so practical and at the same time just goes so deep as well. Practicing meditation is easy. Thinking about it is the hard part. When you think it hasn't worked, it's going to be tough, it's going to be difficult. For goodness sake, just do it. Just sit down, see what happens. And stop judging. Just learn how just to be. Good, bad, who knows? Just allow this moment to be. And be patient, care for it. Don't try and get rid of it. So even if it is yucky, have this beautiful kanti, kamati, or kamami. I consent to this moment being yucky. Try that, instead of trying to get rid of it and control it and judge it. Because if you consent to it, in this moment, not thinking I've got to get rid of this, there's only 1 month to go. No, you allow it to be. And then you find you're actually on the path. Because you are being peace, you're making peace with things. You're waiting on the moment, you're not waiting in the future and doing stuff and getting rid of things and having aversion to life. Life as a monk, life as a nun, you will have sort of your yucky days. It's too cold, it's too hot, you've got hay fever, you've got allergies, you've got Meniere's disease, you've got something. We all get something sooner or later. And then if you are healthy, then you get afflicted with having to do more work than anybody else because you're fit. So you always get some problems. So that's the reason why that you have to accept things and be at peace with things. Open the door of your heart to them. Care for them. Not curing them. And be patient in this moment. And then the trouble is that we say, well, nothing's happening. Well, what do you expect? You don't look outside this moment for any progress in meditation. You're not being in this moment, so something's going to happen next. There is no next, there's only this moment. And what happens if you follow this advice properly? You wait on this moment. Yeah, it feels yucky, you feel tired, you feel restless, but you wait on it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. You're that patient. If it's all day, it's only 1 moment long. So you're just in this moment, just being patient with this, caring for it, accepting it, open the door of your heart from it, valuing it, which is part of learning how to wait on this moment, to be patient with it. And then you find it's just an automatic process. Because you are not doing anything, because you are not following defilements of ill will, wanting, control, because you're just being with something and respecting it, you'll find that the moment starts to change by itself. You don't make it change. It's its nature, cause and effect. You can't stop it. You can't hasten it. It just happens in its own time. And you are this wonderful witness to the Dharma in action. You feel yucky, you feel tired, you feel nothing is happening. You say, oh, what the hell, give up. I'm just going to be in this moment, be patient, wait on the moment. I'm not going to wait for something to happen. I'm going to be consent to this yucky feeling as if it's going to be here for the rest of my life. Then it changes. If it doesn't change, it means you still want it to change. You're not patient, not truly patient. It's like a, you know, like a secret deal. Okay, I'll be patient if you change. I'll wait in this moment. I'll give you 5 minutes. And if you don't change, I'll do something else. No, you have to do it 100%. It's not that hard to do. It's just to accept the yuckiness of this moment. A tired, restless, whatever is mind. Just be with it, care for it, open the door of your heart to it. It's important, the most important thing in the whole world, because it's happening in this moment, it's right in front of you. Then what happens? It starts to calm down, because the very causes of the yuckiness, it's not outside of you, it's the way we react to life. We create these things. And we can uncreate them by just leaving them alone and letting them be, being patient. And then the yuckiness starts to disappear and vanish. And you learn these wonderful insights that the whole problem was I was looking at the wrong place, doing the wrong things. I was doing something, that's the problem, instead of just letting this moment be. Because when you make peace with this moment, when you are patient, you're kind, you're gentle, it has to happen. It's almost like the Buddha is not sort of promising like he was some god and he will deliver something for you. It's just recognizing the law of the universe, just like physics, like science. Now, if this is what you do, this is going to happen. And if it's not happening, it means you're not doing it properly. So you learn just how to be so patient, just waiting in this moment, not waiting for something to happen, not even thinking of tomorrow or how many days are left. Right in this moment, just watching this body, watching this mind. And whenever I do this, my body starts to really, really relax. Problems, aches, pains, noises in the ear, dizziness, whatever illness or sickness you have, stay right in the middle of it, be patient with it. It's incredible just how it tends to vanish, disappear and go. So, you know, because I travel around a lot and I sort of do all sorts of stuff, sometimes I do get into difficulties eating the wrong food. I was writing an email to somebody just how when I was in Indonesia and I don't know what food I ate, but just at the end of the talk, I had to finish the talk pretty quickly and go to my room. You know what it's like, you know, when I do this, people say, oh no, one more question please. Oh no, Atom Brahm, I need you to sign my book. So I need to go. Oh, just one book, just three books. And I had to run, because as soon as I got into my room, vomiting all over the place. I was sick. Sometimes people don't realize that, you know, sickness happens. But, you know, when I deal with this, because you know, you have to get some rest, because you're traveling the next day, all day. Ajahn Bamani knows what you do in Indonesia, because they do the same to him now. Poor Ajahn Bamani. You get up in the morning, travel all day, and sign books. Actually, he doesn't do the signing books yet. That's coming, Ajahn Bamani. You do? Okay. Sign my books. You don't even write them, you have to sign them? That's not fair. But anyway, and have your photograph taken. And then, so it's really tiring. And you know, you're sick. So, but that's how I learn. You go right in the middle of the sickness, you accept it. And it's amazing, just when you do that, you're patient with it, you don't wait for it to go. Because that just makes it worse. You go right into the middle of it, right now, and embrace. Being sick rocks. I'm just going to be sick. I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to be at peace with it. Sort of content and easily satisfied with vomit. Not proud, not demanding, it stops. And then it stops. That's amazing. Just when you learn how to do this, it gives you so much like power in the sense that you know that you're not really afraid of these problems in life, sickness, aches and pains, difficulties. You know how to deal with when you deal with a few of these things, you can deal with almost anything. It takes away a lot of the fear of sicknesses and diseases and pain and discomfort and lack of sleep or restlessness, whatever the problem is, it takes away the fear of it because you know exactly what to do. Just let it be. No, it's obvious. You can't do anything else. Just let it be. Be in the moment. Be right in the center of it. Then you just watch. If I want it to disappear, it never does. But if I just let it be, waiting in this moment, it goes. So that's why when, you know what it's like, you've been meditating, you feel a bit tired, the body's not relaxed, haven't eaten the right food, didn't sleep well at night, whatever it is. Beautiful. Here we go again. Go accept the yuck, and make that the object of the meditation. You haven't got no choice because that's the most prominent thing. I hardly ever choose what I watch. I just let it be, and just whatever's here right now, that's what I watch. But what I do with it, I choose what I do with whatever's in front of my mind. So make sure I open the door of my heart to it, let it be. Make peace with it. And be patient. I know that so well. When I want things to happen, when I want to get rid of things I don't like, when I want things which I do want to happen quickly, they never do. So counterproductive. That is not patience. That's wanting. And then the difficult body states, they disappear and the body just really relaxes. It's obvious why it relaxes, because your mind is relaxed, the body follows suit. And sometimes I can feel just muscles in the body loosening. I remember that time when I was vomiting, just to feel the muscles in the stomach starting to calm down and relax. They were overreacting. Yeah, there was some muck in my stomach, which they wanted to get out, but it was total overreaction. The way it's vomiting like that, just settle it down. And you can settle down your own stomach like that. You can feel it, make peace with it, and soon it just really relaxes. I remember that night, because I had to get some sleep, so I got about 3 or 4 hours sleep by just relaxing, but all the muck wasn't out, because as soon as I woke up, I went to the toilet and vomited again. I had, you know, 3 or 4 hours beautiful sleep in between vomits. And it's amazing you can do that, simply because you know how to relax everything. So this is what I was doing with the body, and what I do with the body even now. So that's the benefits of patience. But then, of course, you translate that straight into your meditation, into your mind. You're watching your mind, and sometimes it's restless. Remember, it's not your mind. It's not in your control. So that's just what we chanted in the Natalakkana Sutta. If it was belong to you, you'd be able to say, oh, may my mind be like this, may it be like that. But you can't do that. Nalabhati, it says in that chant we just did. You can't do that. It's proof that this mind and body is not me, not mine, not a self. I can't control it. So instead I let it be. And I'm patient, just waiting in this moment, not waiting in the future, not waiting for something to happen. And just, how's my mind right now? What's going on? And I'm being with this. It's almost like, you know, you're learning. Because when I used to learn at school, at university, you'd always like focus just on what the lecturer was saying. Remember at school, I did have a really good memory at school. Not a photographic memory, for good memory, because you know, somehow or other I knew how to learn. You just paid attention to what the teacher was saying. You didn't even take down notes. And I found it interesting, whatever the teacher was saying, because I was interested, I was in the moment, and the memory happened. So when we had exams and tests, I knew the answers. No, without any much work, because I was paying attention, I was interested when it was happening. I was in this moment. And that's such an important thing, which I learned how to learn, and how I learned the same technique I used to meditate. So whatever's happening at this moment, I like it, I don't like it, but it's important, it's teaching me something. So I learn from every moment, the yucky, the beautiful, both. And so when I respect this moment in meditation, restless, tired, whatever, I allow it to be. And I usually love adding this caring to it as well, because the caring gives it a little bit of respect. It's not just enduring it. Yeah, I suppose I've got to endure having to do all my jobs, giving talks, endure the chanting, endure, you know, having to clean up the dharmasala, endure having to do the cooking and the driving. I don't just endure it. Enjoy it. Put some fun and happiness into it. This beautiful sense of service. I was telling today in one of the interviews, was it interview or somewhere or other, the lovely memory of service. I think it was just after the meal. Forget now anyway. Oh no, I think it was actually the Jhana Groovies this morning, of cleaning Ajahn Chah's feet. That's where it came from. It's an absolutely true story. Not exaggerating at all. Just, we used to go on arms round in the forest, in the villages, walking barefoot. So when we got back, our feet were filthy. So always had these foot wash areas to wash the feet before you went into the dining hall. So we'd wash the feet and go and dry them and sit down. But when Ajahn Chah came back from arms round, all these monks would jump up and wash the feet for him. And being a Westerner, I couldn't understand that. You know, all the teachings I heard of being a refuge to yourself, doing things for yourself, being a soldier. Why do you want all these monks to wash your feet for? And there were so many monks, maybe about a dozen around each foot. I remember at the time thinking, because now I was trained in the West. Look, that's ridiculous. We should have like a roster, like we do here for cleaning the dhanasala. A roster. Now, Ajahn Appi on Monday, Ajahn Bhumali on Tuesday, Ajahn Sangharatna on Wednesday. Well, no, just assign toes to monks. Ajahn Appi has a big toe, Ajahn Bhumali. And of course, you know, that's logical, because I didn't understand what was going on, but it made no sense to me until that. One of the great things of, like, you know, being a monk or being a nun is you're willing to experiment, try things out. And that's what I did one day. So I'm going to try this out because I can't understand it. Just from looking from afar, I just do not know what's going on, why they're doing this. So I remember that day, you know, I really walked fast so I can get back early from the arms round, get all my stuff ready, sitting down and poised like a cat waiting to pounce. All my muscles were tense, waiting, and because you had to be fast. I remember that day, because I was at the end of the line. I was a young monk, so you had to beat a lot of monks, you know, further up the line to you. And so when I saw him coming, I jumped up. I don't think I bowed, just jumped up, you know, to save a few seconds, and just ran. And lots of other monks were running too. And when I got to him, I got a toe all to myself. And I was just so happy. You know, just washing a toe of this Thai monk. And I was, you know, a Westerner. And then I thought, wow, this is so beautiful. I got so much happiness out of that. And that just really threw me. That was like a huge insight. You know, like you just come out of a jhana and just see non-self. I just saw, you know, the Dharma of a toe and just washing it for somebody else. It was totally illogical, not necessary, but beautiful. So I like that idea of just experimenting, giving it a try, see what it's like just to be in this moment with a yucky mind and just totally accept it and care for it and be with it. And if you really have that adventurous mind which is willing to give things a try, 100%, then you find it actually works. This mind gets so peaceful. You understand the causes of joy, selflessness, service, kindness, being in this moment. There's so much to learn from this moment. That's where insight lies. Not in books, not in thinking, not in the future. You're not going to get enlightened later on. You only get enlightened now. So you stay as much as you possibly can in this moment. Just being with it, learning with it. And after a while, with that type of acceptance, that type of patience, so waiting in this moment, you get to know this moment so well, it teaches you so much. This is where the Dhamma lies. And then after a while, the yuckiness goes. The restlessness and tiredness. Restlessness, that's just going off into the future, getting away from this. People always just want something to escape from this moment. That's why you fantasize and dream. That's why so much work happens in monasteries, because we want something to do. And sometimes you wonder, what do you keep on doing stuff for? Can't you just, haven't you got enough already? And so after a while we stop doing stuff because we're content with this moment. So all that restlessness, both external and internal, just tend to disappear. And restlessness and tiredness, they always go together. Because we're restless, we waste our energy and we get tired. And then we get some energy, we get restless again. We have a cup of coffee, we start thinking and fantasizing and dreaming and doing stuff again. And then we get tired again. Always going between the extremes of tiredness and restlessness. Until we just, okay, let it be. Whatever this is right now, I'm just going to accept this. You're making peace, you're being patient, you're being kind. And that's the way the yuckiness disappears, the restlessness, the tiredness vanishes. And then not only does the body feel just really good, peaceful, energized, wonderful. If you can't sleep at night, oh, I don't know, sometimes maybe had too much tea, or you know, the energies in the body are just too strong. Sometimes when I lay down, especially on retreat when you don't tend to sleep very much, you lay down there because your body's a bit sore and think, oh, so I should be going to sleep now. But don't worry, if you go to sleep, you go to sleep. If you don't go to sleep, you don't go to sleep. Stay in this moment. You don't wait to go to sleep, waiting for it to happen. You never go to sleep that way. You wait in this moment. Right now, this moment, that's actually one of the things. Was a few years ago, I had a lot of lack of sleep. I didn't know really why, but I cured it simply by saying, why do I want to go to sleep for? Because laying down, if you're meditating all day or doing work, laying down on your bed with your pillow, which is the most comfortable pillow in the whole world, that's actually why some people actually take their pillow with them when they go on the aircraft and they go overseas. Because there's nothing like your pillow. I'm going to be going off to Thailand tomorrow morning, so I'll miss my pillow. But I'm not going to take it with me. Other pillows are good enough. But what happens is that you're laying down there, think, this is really comfortable, nice and warm, stretched out, no aches and pains, and just lay down, little aches and pains. So I always mention, always remember saying to myself, I don't want to go to sleep, this is just too comfortable. So I was laying down there just enjoying one of the most comfortable positions in the whole monastery, in my cave, on my mattress, on my pillow, with my blankets covered around me, my smells, which I get used to. It's really comfortable, it's home. So who wants to go to sleep? This is beautiful, I'm enjoying this. And of course, as soon as you stop wanting to go to sleep, next thing you woke up in the morning, really refreshed, you had a good night's sleep, because you never wanted to go to sleep. And you were waiting in this moment, enjoying just the pleasure of just lying flat out in your bed, enjoying the moment. This experiences like that just show you this waiting in the future. That's impatience. And that causes so much problems to people in monasteries. They've been meditating. You've got goals, you're still waiting for something to happen, but you're waiting in the wrong place. It will never happen. Years and years and years, people can wait for something to happen, and it never does. But instead, wait on this moment, make peace with it, care for it, and the causes are starting to be put into place. And you go deeper into this moment. There was the other little teaching which I remember saying to someone on the interviews. It's really important teaching. To get to the next level in meditation, it's always right in the center of the level you're in right now. The old simile, the thousand-petal lotus, a lotus opening up because of the heat and the light from the sun in the morning. When that gets on the leaves of the lotus or the petals of the lotus, it opens the lotus up. The light and the warmth stand for the mindfulness and the kindness. you are the lotus, to open yourselves up. All you need to do is to be aware and be kind in this moment. Don't wait for it to open up. Wait in this moment, making sure the kindness and the light is there. And you know it's going to open up sooner or later. All lotuses open up sooner or later, as long as the light and the warmth are hitting the petals of the lotus. But if you wait for it to happen, you're off in the future, you are missing the light, destroying the kindness, the warmth. This is not good enough, you want something else. Imagine if that was me in this monastery, not being kind to you. I don't like you, get out, I want another monk, I want another novice, you're not good enough. That's really hopeless, but that's what we do to our mind. This moment is not good enough, get out of here, I want something better than you. No wonder the mind never develops. You have this wonderful sense of care, kindness, acceptance, embracing, whatever's happening. That is the warmth of the sun, the light from the sun, hitting whatever stage you're in right now. And it is inevitable. It has to happen. If it doesn't happen, you're not doing it right. Just mindfulness, which is always in this moment, and kindness. Waiting in this moment, not waiting in the future. And then you're just sitting there with your restlessness and it just opens up. You go inside of it. You're peaceful. Wow! It's just clicked. And when you have that first bit of peace in your meditation, oh, this is so nice. Yeah, enjoy it. And then what do you do next? No next. Just carry on. Very good, carry on. That's a very deep teaching. This is good, wonderful. This moment is good enough. And just let it carry on, because that's what it does. You're opening your mind to this moment, and it starts to get beautiful. And because you are aware in this moment, you're not aware of the future, waiting for it to happen, waiting in the future. You're waiting in this moment, and you're kind, you're caring to this moment, respecting it, then it goes deeper. More layers of the petals open up. And I love that simile, the thousand petal lotus simile, because that's very, to me, it's very accurate. It's where my mind works. I can't see that my mind is different than anybody else's mind. And it's so simple, just to be aware in this moment and kind. Patient, make peace, be kind, be gentle. In this moment, not waiting for it to happen. And then everything you ever wanted happens, and actually much better than you expected. You're sitting there and just beautiful breaths start to appear. You're aware, nimittas start to come. And you just keep on just being aware. You're not waiting for the big nimitta to come. That's a big mistake. Just waiting in this moment, and these things come in their own time. But you are so happy just to be able to watch the breath. Just to be able to watch this one breath, that's just more than good enough for me. I'm so grateful. So I'm so not sort of waiting for something more to happen. So that gratitude also, which I was also playing around with at the end of my retreat, and somebody else was mentioning it to me. Gratitude is such an important quality, because gratitude fulfills and satisfies you. It stops you wanting stuff. I'm so grateful for being able just to watch a breath. You're so grateful for that. You don't want anything more. You're totally satisfied, which means that you get much more than you ever want. So the breath becomes so delightful. And the joy starts coming up. And the wonderful nimittas come up and push the breath away. The lotus starts to open up. And now for a lot of people, the first time that happens, once you get going, it's just you just got the mindfulness, you got the kindness, and you don't know really what you're doing, so you just let it happen. And just you really get deep, and that lotus really opens up, really full on. Amazing just how many people, when they first get their first jhanas, it's just totally just blows them away because they didn't do anything. It was just automatic process. They just got the mindfulness and the kindness just going, and it just did its job. They didn't know what was going on, so they certainly weren't waiting for something to happen. They hadn't got a clue what was going to happen. And now you know what it's like, so you want it to happen. At least you want a nimitta. Or at least you want a delightful breath. Or just one breath. Can I please watch two breaths in a row, please? I haven't got to that stage yet. But no, don't worry about those stuff. You know, just be in this moment, be kind. Wait in this moment, wait on the moment. Just that's all you've got to do, like a waiter waits on the customers in a restaurant. Caring for them. If a waiter waits on these customers, really cares for them, is really vigilant, knows what's going on, is aware of, you know, when to take the plates away, when to get the next course, when to give them the bill, they get this big tip. And so if you really wait in this moment, wait on the moment, you get this big tip. Nimittas. If you've got a really, really good customer and you really look after them, jhanas. If you've really got the best customer, they give all the enlightenment and psychic powers as well. That's a really good tip. So that's what happens when you learn how to wait in this moment, not wait for something to happen, which is waiting for the next moment. You get that clear in your mind and a lot of problems disappear. And if you get dissatisfied, it's not happening, it means you haven't understood this talk. There we go. Very good. Sati Pano Bhagavato Sati.